Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
Getting a signal.
Oh, Patrick, thank you. I'm going to chill. I'm going to just
chilling. I'm just guessing.
Okay.
These girls are beautiful.
Oh.
Both of you.
Wow.
You know, and even if you're not.
That's my favorite. Even if you're not, all right, Patrick, I gotta hit the news.
Listening to you,
okay. Thanks, Patrick.
Talking to you and listening to you, you sound beautiful.
Okay.
So at heart, you're beautiful.
All right, thank you, Patrick. Thank you, Patrick. We're beautiful.
Good morning, everybody. This is Jen B. I'm filling in for Nick D here on WGN 720 AM. I'm super excited because I have three amazing ladies. Oh, it's so funny. Someone texted me and was like, you use the word amazing too much. And I'm like, of all words, you can't use the word amazing too much.
I have to agree with that.
I totally agree.
I mean, amazing is a good word.
It is a great word.
It's not like I say, I don't know, garbage.
I like the word delicious.
I'm going to start using that.
Okay.
I'm in.
You're going to have to quote me, though.
Okay.
Trademark.
I'm in the studio with three delicious women.
See, that gets a little weird.
Yeah, it does
get
a little weird.
I kind of like it. It's all right.
Yeah. I love it. I'll take it.
Okay. So these, I'm going to actually have you guys introduce yourselves. We'll start on this end with Sarah.
I'm Sarah Savini.
Hi, I'm Corey Pasco.
Hi, I'm Robin Coffin.
Hi, everybody. It's so nice to have you.
That's so nice to
so
be here.
So these women are, I'm going to say artists. I like to say that because it is true. And it encompasses, you guys don't just do one thing.
True.
So that is important because I feel like I was talking off air with someone about how sometimes, especially as women, they like to put us into little boxes and you are this and you are this and you cannot do this. And I say no. I say no. We can do it all.
I say no.
I say shut up. I say I'm not listening to you in your
there
little
you
box.
Go. There you go.
I don't have time for that. I have things to do.
And the thing that I think you, and you said yes, you have in common is you all are members.
Yep. Ensemble members.
Ensemble members at the Factory Theater, which has a brand new space.
Mm-hmm.
And
so pretty.
I pass by it. I have to say I've not been in it. I pass by it. I live close by. And I have seen shows that you guys have done, but not at the new space. You've had one show or
two? We're in our second. Right?
Second show.
We are in the midst of it currently.
Okay. Yeah. And that show is?
Dating and Dragons.
Dating and Dragons.
By Mike Wee.
There you go.
Closes August 13th.
There you go.
Just this Saturday.
Fantastic.
That was really
8
good
p.m.
teamwork.
Show on Friday and Saturday.
There you go. Okay. TheFactorytheater.com, I'm assuming.
Or just that's right.
Okay. Theater with an E-R.
E-R.
.com.
Which I love.
Yeah.
Because we're not fancy.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So.
It's not old-timey radio.
No. No, no. We're not Futra.
No.
So
we're not Futra.
What? What? Why don't you guys tell me, and we'll start with Robin, how you ended up as part of the Factory Theater Ensemble?
Well, it's funny you should ask, Jen.
Is it?
These lovely ladies to my right here, I've actually known for about, Corey I've known for about 21 years. Sarah, yep. I've known for about 15-ish.
Yeah.
We'll round up, yeah. 15. Okay. And so we've worked together way, way back and had a lot of time together. When I moved back from Seattle, they were both members of the Factory Theater, which I was aware of. And I saw their wonderful, wonderful show that they wrote called The League of Awesome. And I was hooked. And then I worked at a restaurant called Pettorino's here down the street. Just had dinner there tonight, actually.
Hey, atta girl.
And I worked with a young man named Tim Amos. And we were polishing silverware in the dining room one morning at about 10 o'clock. And he said, are you funny? And I said, yes.
Yes, I am.
And he said, would you like to audition for the Factory Theater? And I said, well, gosh darn it, yes.
Yay.
I didn't know this story.
And the next day, Colin Milroy, who is also an ensemble member, who was casting director at that time, gave me a call and invited me to audition for, oh my gosh, what was the first show I did?
White Trash?
No.
No.
Zombies?
No. Oh my gosh. What's wrong with
we'll figure it out. I can Google it.
Sure, we can.
It was Esteban. It was the
Easy Six.
Oh, Easy Six. Easy Six, yes.
I thought Montez. Yes.
Scott Oaken, Ernie Deke wrote it. I auditioned for it, and I got cast. And then I did White Trash Wedding and a Funeral. Yeah. And then four years ago, I became an ensemble member.
Fantastic.
On July 27th. I remember that, but I can't remember the name of the first damn show
That's
I did.
Okay. That's okay.
You remember the date. I don't have that.
Yeah, I can't remember that.
So, Corey, what about you?
I was at a going away slash cast party for a show from Sarah's Cup. No, I'm lying. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Open Eye. It was Factory at Abbie Hoffman that you were in.
Yes.
Right. So I went to see her and another friend of ours, Alexis Klossner, and the closing out party was at Sarah's company space, and also a farewell to Alexis as they were moving back to Texas. And
it rhymes.
It does. That's why her email, Alexis from Texas, at imnottellingyouwhat.com, because you don't need to know that.
Okay.
So a well-lubricated Allison Kane, formerly our managing director, came up and said, I was told to find and talk to funny women, and so...
I told her to go
she
over.
She did. She's like, so that's apparently you. Oh. So I'm like, I see. So somehow I got wrangled into auditioning like the next day, and I looked at Alexis. I'm like, what did I just do? What just happened? She's like, you're going to love it. It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. And then I wound up, in Top Shelf in 2004, 2005, which was a show about strippers.
Oh,
in which I played an attorney.
That was my first show too.
Yeah. With this one. In fact, we went in to audition for the same roles, mm-hmm. and we read for one and then the other. Yep. And that was that. And then by the time we were doing Siskel and Ebert Save Chicago in 2006, seven, sure. Then I was an ensemble member and I've been there ever since.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sarah?
I was a stalker.
Oh. Great.
Good. This was the first theater company that I saw, and I had my own theater company. So it was—I mean, like I was a part of the scene, and I was working, and there was a lot of great theaters that were popping up in the mid '90s that were just really, oh, they were just filled with so many talented people that you just wanted to be a part of. And the Factory was one of them. It was the first place that I saw women who had absolutely no apologies. They were dirty, dangerous characters with absolutely no apologizing, and it was the sexiest thing I'd ever seen, and I just wanted to be a part of it, and so I started stalking.
That's a good, you know, that
yeah
reasonable
and
to
I was
me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, and then time went and I was doing other things, and then a mutual friend, Jason Lubo, was doing an Abbie Hoffman and brought back a piece.
Why didn't someone tell us what the Abbie Hoffman is?
Oh, because there's one left. So
yeah, it's yeah. a festival that Rich Katosky does through Mary Archie.
It's the Abbie Hoffman Died for Our Sins Festival. I believe this will be 27
yeah, I think
27th
so. and last because Mary Archie is
no longer.
Right.
Yeah, and so it was this short piece that Factory had done a long time ago called Rapid Fire. And Nick DiGilio saw me in it and then called me in for Top Shelf to audition. And then, yeah, the same year we became ensemble members after doing different shows.
Right.
Wow.
My first two shows with the Factory were directed by Nick.
That's okay. So the Nick story, that I think Robin might know, my husband,
Miles,
who is a nice gentleman.
Oh,
that's always helpful.
Yeah. That's how it works in his favor. Yeah. And he is a WGN fan and has been for years. And when I moved back from LA in 2006, unfortunately, I feel like I told this story earlier, but I'm just going to tell it again.
I wasn't here.
No, you weren't here. It doesn't matter.
So then it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. So my father had passed away and I was having insomnia, and Miles was like, listen to WGN. And I was like, I am too cool for AM radio. I am not going to listen to it. And then he turned it on and I fell in love. And I fell in love with Nick DiGilio's voice. And we've talked about it since. He sort of helped me through a hard time without knowing it. I had no idea who he was.
Wow.
And
then amazing.
Isn't that? It is
amazing. And so then as I progressed in, you know, got better and started writing and started doing a lot of live lit events, I said, well, maybe this Nick DiGilio will have me on to promote my event. And I went on as a guest. You know, we hit it off. And then I kept being a guest. And finally, he said, you know, and I said, I should be a host. I should be a host here.
Like,
this is fun.
I want to go on the
and
other
so
side.
And so Nick is my radio mentor. And so that's how fantastic. I got my gig here, is basically Nick DiGilio, which is funny because Roy Leonard was his mentor, yep. and that's how he got. Yeah. So it's the same, the cycle. It's like a Kuna Matata.
It is.
You know,
it is. Yeah, paying it forward.
So anyway, so that's how you guys all ended up. Why? You mentioned a little, Sarah, about what you connected with when you saw the Factory Theater mm-hmm. shows that you saw. What about you guys? Why do you like it there? Why is it unique? Why is the Factory Theater unique?
Well, I think Sarah touched on a really big thing, was, you know, seeing women who can just be bold and brash and ugly and put all of it out there. There's something really sexy and awesome about that, and I wanted to be a part of that because
absolutely.
I just appreciate that, and there's an outlet for it. You know, we write, we don't have any shame in our writing, and it just lends itself to women being able to be as funny as humanly possible.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a boys club that exists, obviously, with comedy, and the Factory is, I mean, bless them, but they're no exception to it. But what's great about it is that they're like, yes, we know. But also, you are stronger than all of us. So why don't you go ahead and speak your voice and speak
do
it loud?
Mm-hmm.
Like it, and that is great. There is an honest recognition of like, this is who we are, but this is who you are, and we want to celebrate that and make it really, really loud. One of my first rehearsals for Top Shelf, Nick didn't know me at all, and they made a character so I could also be in the second act as well as this first one. They're like, we just wanted to hear the name of the restaurant, which I don't think I can say on the air.
No.
Okay. So great. So, you know, and he's like, so you can just improvise the scene. You've got some specials ready to go. I'm like, you don't know me at all. And I just get to come in and improvise and blow the room apart, which is what I got to do.
Yay.
And I was like, thank you for that. And it was just expected that you're here. So
you step up.
You step up.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And that's, I didn't actually know. I've seen a bunch of shows there, but now hearing you guys talk about it, it is sort of an empowered company in that way.
Well, and it also looks a lot easier to do the type of comedy that we do than it actually
is.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, there's a line.
Yeah.
And we are right on top of that line. But if you go over, then it's
not.
Yeah, because then you're commenting and you're telecasting to the audience. There's a wink that we don't want to have.
We got a little. So I think, it is time for a break, is it not? Oh, it's just time for a break. Thank you, ladies, for putting up with me. When you're a fill-in, you don't know what's going on. You're just kind of like, oh. So anyway, it is now just about 3:15 and we're taking a break. This is Jen B filling in for Nick DiGilio on WGN 720 AM. Good morning, everybody. This is Jen B. I'm filling in for Nick DiGilio here on WGN 720 AM. I have the brilliant Sarah, Corey, and Robin here, who are actresses, but also do millions of other things, which we'll get into. But I guess my question is, we were talking about the Factory Theater and how I use the word empowered, and I did feel like that. I've seen a bunch of shows there. My last show actually I saw there was Black and Blue.
Mm-hmm. Nick directed.
That's how I ended up there. But I saw a show. Did you guys, what space was, I mean, I know that one went to the Raven, but what was the space that was primarily?
Prop.
That's
prop
it.
On Elston.
We were there for 10 years.
The prop on Elston. I went to the restaurant across the street.
Chief O'Neill.
Then my husband and I would go see.
They're great.
Yeah.
We lived
so
there.
I thought it was special, and I thought it was different. And also, there's sort of this thing about the Factory Theater that I see is super not a lot of ego. No, I'm not on the inside and I don't know any of the stuff, but I didn't feel...
We're amazing.
What I was seeing on stage was not like, you were talking about riding the line, was not like taking itself so seriously that you're like, okay, it's sometimes it's too much.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and there was humor, but there was also serious vibes going on there. But what I liked was it wasn't, I won't name any big theaters or because whatever, but there wasn't sort of this pretense of like acting. It was more like great acting you don't need to telecast that you're doing great acting.
Right.
Yeah, just do your job.
Tell the truth.
And we really want, I mean, I think that that's something that we talk about with, I mean, our mission statement is pretty clear, which I'll let somebody else say.
Great. Thanks for looking at me.
But the point that I was going to make is that a lot of our members really take a lot of pride in having our theater be a theater that when you don't want to go to theater,
yes.
you want to go to Factory.
That's yes.
Right. You know, so right. that it's a theater for the everyman. If you're like, oh, I don't want to go, it's going to be too much, you can take your spouse or your boyfriend who hates or whatever, and then they'll have fun.
Yes. Yes, because my husband is not a big, like, my husband will fall asleep at theater. He did not fall right. asleep at the Factory. He will fall asleep at other theaters where you pay $120 a ticket.
We're usually too loud.
I was just going
to fall asleep. Yeah. Our mission statement is Factory Theater delivers unexpected, unapologetic theatrical experiences through original works forged and assembled by our shameless ensemble.
That is great. That's a beautiful mission statement.
And we hold true weekend. To that.
Shameless ensemble. Yeah. That is fantastic. Like you were saying, shameless. No apologies.
No apologies. No. And there is there's a rigorous process that has gotten refined over time, and I'm sure will continue to. But like, you know, the ensemble writes the work. That goes through at least, it has to officially go through 2 readings, 3 drafts before it's even submitted. And that's just the official count. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to go through about 5 million drafts. Sarah and I stopped numbering them seriously. And I think right now we have
infinity.
It's either infinity or negative infinity.
It could be negative infinity.
It's a different symbol. We're like, draft, Google. I don't even know anymore. And it's constantly in flux. It's a living, breathing thing until it goes up and then takes its own shape as shows do. But you have to be ready for that.
Previews. I mean, we ask questions of our audience through previews because we're always learning, especially now that we're in a new space. There are sight lines. There are different things that we're doing. And we want it to be right.
Yeah. And right and good and clear
and entertaining.
Sure.
Have a good time.
And we're always up to doing something new. I'm actually directing next January.
Wait a minute.
Yes,
January. Yes, I am.
Is this brand new news?
Yeah.
Pretty new.
Yeah. Pretty new.
Wow.
I'm directing Carrie Sullivan's show, Next Big Thing.
Wow.
It's a very, very different show for us. It will be a totally different construct, and it's something that we've never really done before. That Carrie and I are both terrified and exhilarated about. But she's on her upteenth draft.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even
know for sure.
how many.
She's been working on that
for a long time.
It's going to be all Sharpay's, this production, right?
Yes, I've cast all the dogs.
They're lying.
All the
They're
dogs.
Lying.
No, it's not dogs. Okay.
No, it's not.
Well, and then my other question, among many, is how did you guys realize that you wanted to be performers? We'll start with you, Sarah. Like, what? How did that?
Oh my God!
Wow. Yeah.
Do we have 5 hours?
Yeah. When I was a little girl,
my problems began.
I started as a piano player. My mom played piano, and I picked it up, and I started playing when I was very young, about 3. And that was kind of the path that was going to be my life. And I love playing piano, but I really didn't feel a connection to it. It's solitary. It wasn't something that I was as interested in as I wanted to sing, and I wanted to be an actor. I didn't want to be a writer. That's something
well,
that happened.
Too bad.
I know, too bad. And I wanted to do improv. I have family members that were very high up at Second City, and I wanted to emulate them, and I wanted to follow in their footsteps. And so that was always a big dream to do that. And so then I started in high school, and I never stopped.
Where are you from?
I'm from Evanston, like you.
Wait a minute.
I know. But I left. I left ETHS junior year, and I went to Wayland Academy up in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin.
Okay. Wait. Can I ask you? I can state my truth.
That you do
I graduated
that.
In '93.
Yeah, you're much younger.
Okay. Well.
You're younger than my sister.
Okay.
She is?
Yeah. My sister's 3 years younger than me. I graduated in '88.
Oh, okay.
Not that much younger.
No, I'm like, you're
I'm so
like,
1902.
Like, Sarah's right? actually 75. She just looks little. It's all that Arbonne.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah.
And what,
oh, I'm 6.
What about you, Corey? Like, how did it progress?
I was like an illness.
Yeah.
It grew and festered. I was that kid who was making characters, like doing characters at my parents' cocktail parties kind of thing. Like, you know, because what better excuse to drink when you have children is to have cocktail parties.
So I privately, that. Like not in front of...
I came downstairs.
Oh, the 70s.
I mean, yeah. Right? So I was like, what a brilliant time to be alive. So I kept doing that. And then at some point in this weird, like, pre-Truman Show imagination, I just imagined that I was on all the time. just like at any point until I forgot about it. But at any point, there was some like Statler and Waldorf somewhere commenting on my reel forever about my life. I'm like eight, and I'm and this is what I think is happening.
Did you sing the Winner Takes It All to the mirror with your
No, brush? I sang Music in the Mirror from A Chorus Line.
Oh, very good.
There you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, over and over again. And then I went to the Chicago Academy for the Arts for my second 2 years of high
school. That's fame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. But way weirder at the time. Now it's I was told when I went back to direct there, they're like, we have to tell everyone about your era, something about this school. It's a real school now. I'm like, oh.
One of our ensemble members' son just started going there.
That's
very
right.
Cool. Yeah. Right?
That's right.
He gets to go to the real school.
He does.
I went to the one that
you went to.
That
was a sort of a camp, maybe.
It was more of a home for derelicts
Who
had some talent.
Alternative camp.
Yes.
It was.
Derelict camp.
There was a big empty room where you just crashed on the couch. I was on sneak previews.
I thought you were going to say drugs.
I was one of the only people who were not on drugs at the time. I should have been. But it was wonderful. So I was on sneak previews, and they filmed in my house, and it was just really for a pilot.
That is so cool.
It was very weird.
So we're gonna break, but when we get back, I want to hear more about sneak previews because I don't know what that is, and I want to know what that is. This is Jen B. I'm filling in for Nick DiGilio here on WGN 720 AM. Good morning, everybody. This is Jen B. I'm filling in for Nick DiGilio here, and I'm here with three. I'm going to say amazing because maybe delicious does sound, you know, I don't know.
Slightly personal.
And it's also not really me. I like when Sarah said it.
It makes sense when she said it.
Yeah, very Sarah.
Amazing is more my jam. So we're talking.
You can own that.
Okay. I'm going to own it. I'm
not. Truth.
I'm going to own my truth. Stand in my power. And
Planted, not buried, Jen.
Planted, not buried.
Oh, wow.
Yep. That was my feedback today.
Yeah,
for Robin, we're planted, not buried.
Oh, nice.
It was intense. It was a day.
It's a day.
So I'm here. I'm here with Sarah, Corey, and Robin, who are actors and writers and coaches and improvise. I mean, it's one of these things where the reason I wanted to have you guys on is that you don't. There's not just. I find to be honest, just actors really boring.
You're kind of horrible. I don't know. We're awful.
And I hate to say that, but I've said it before. Only because there's so when people are like, I just act. If you have something to fall back on, you will fall back. And I'm like, no. You'll fall anyway, so might as well do other things while you're falling. You know what I mean? Direct a show, coach, you teach some kids, do some stuff. But so, Corey, you were saying, what is the sneak previews business you were on?
Sneak previews is it still around?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
It was very 80s.
It sure was.
Yeah.
Although this was early 90s, so we'll go with that. All right. But thanks for trying to age me a little
bit. Yeah, of course.
I really appreciate that.
We're all weak.
You know what?
But please, tell us more about Sneak Preview.
Yeah. Great. It was a movie review show. It was our local version of At the Movies. What was that? Richard Roper and... Some other guy.
You had a mustache. I remember that.
Yes.
Wait, it's coming back to me.
Is it all coming back to you now?
Yes, it is.
Wow. I'm really proud of the harmonies that just happened.
Yeah.
So I would leave school in the middle of the day because you just got a pass. You're like,
it
I have an audition. Oh, I have a thing. So they're like, great.
It's derelict camp.
Yeah, it's totally derelict camp. Mm-hmm. But it was an amazing derelict camp. I need to put that out there.
Yeah, it sounds like it. You learned something.
My teachers were phenomenal, and they were all working actors. So like you would learn their business right away, what they had to go through every day. And so... So yeah, I would leave class and then I would go to Ed DeBevick's. Right? It was empty because it wasn't open yet. And then they would.
This is like a child's dream.
I know. Yeah. I'd talk about movies and then I'd go back to school. And then they tried to do like a little pilot spin-off thing and they had to film a section in my house, which they had to try to make my room look like a typical teenager's room.
Oh.
That took a lot of work.
So, let's be honest, you were a child star.
Kind
of.
I was a child star. Let's be real.
She came out okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
for a kid that wants to be a performer, to have that experience when you're in high school, I mean, I was like understudying the chorus member in our town in high school, you know what I'm saying? So, who has no lines? So,
And that's what I do now.
Full circle.
Full circle.
Shut up.
Yeah. No, that is not what you do now.
It was, no, it's not. But it was really, it helped a lot. It helped very much to create this work ethic. It helped. We did a lot of outreach, and so we would go and talk to other kids, and there was a lot of...
She was inspirational.
I really was. I got to meet Oprah. That was really nice.
I never met Oprah, but there's still time.
There's still time. Yeah. She hasn't left.
She's around. She's in Napa.
She's omniscient.
And Robin, what about you?
Well, I always like to tell the version that my mother tells, which was when I was little, I would listen to those Walt Disney records. Mm-hmm. At the chime, turn the page.
Yes, I love those.
Bing. Yes. So my mom would put me to bed, and I would sneak out of bed, and I would act out the Disney records all night with my stuffed animals and just stay up all night and act all of it out. I grew up in a not-so-healthy household. Yeah. So I had
and
to
you're
have
in the
an,
arts? That's so
I know.
Weird.
I had to have an outlet understand. Somewhere. And then at 10, I declared to my family that I was going to be an actor. And my first play, I played a white rapper in a play called Video to Go in junior high.
Wow.
With Bilal Dardai. And I never stopped. And then I did speech team in high school. Then I went to college at DuPage. And then I went to Columbia College. And then I signed with Stuart Talent. And
You went for real.
Yeah, she went
for
real.
You went all the way through.
So
I
had a similar, I went to the theater school at DePaul. And then when I graduated, I remember having... I had multi-listed with agents, and I didn't know anything about anything.
I was clueless.
I was like, I don't know. And I got booked on a television show, and I thought great.
Early Edition.
Yeah. But all I did, Early Edition and ER, I was both on. And I remember chain smoking and thinking, like a lot of women feel, I think, I'm a fraud. Like, I don't know what...
That happened today, the first day of rehearsal. I walked in, and in my head, I thought, they're going to say, we made a mistake.
Yeah.
Sarah and I talk about this often.
All the time.
Whenever I show up on fire, I'm like, oh, this is the day. When they realize...
They realize that they made a horrible mistake.
And I, to the point where, when I was on set, I remember being on set and being like, fired. When they would come over and the director or the whoever would tell me where to go and stuff, I'd be like... I'd be convinced they were walking over to be like, you know what, you've got to go.
Right.
And so I'd be like,
we don't know how you got in here.
And they're like, no, we just want you to walk over there, calm down.
Right. And so you're like, okay, you're speaking to me.
Yeah.
That's great.
And I'm not fired. And I think that's no good.
No,
it's not. Just be cool.
And there are days where it's not there. There are days where...
So
it comes back.
Robin is on Chicago Fire.
She's super famous.
Yes, she is.
She is super famous.
Who do you
play
on Chicago Fire?
I play Cindy Herman. I am the wife of David Eigenberg, who you would know from Sex and the City. He played Steve.
Nice.
He's Christopher Herman. We have 5 children, and I usually show up trying to lighten everyone up and give hugs and cookies.
I like Cindy,
right?
You guys,
Cindy's pretty
you gotta, Cindy is a great. I want Cindy to be my mom, which is weird because I'm older than Cindy,
right?
So that's a whole.
But Cindy is ageless. Cindy can be anyone's mom.
That's true. Aww.
She's a wonderful character. I love what she stands for. We have a super awesome, great, healthy relationship, which I really, really, really love.
Yeah,
that
really
we can
good.
Signify
yeah.
that on
sure.
the show.
Yeah, there's not the screaming and the pushing and the we're breaking up and then
we just really love each
you're
other.
You're solid.
Yeah. Yes.
Solid.
Yeah.
As a rock.
What other...
That's what this love is. That's what we've got.
So what else is happening? What are people doing? Sarah, what's going on?
Your turn.
Corey, anyone?
God. No, you first.
I had the first day of school today. I had my first day of rehearsals for Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia
at the Paramount. Yes, I'm very excited.
Tidbit, I was Tim Rader's assistant when I came back from Los Angeles.
I met him today.
I needed a job, and we are friends from old way back. And I was like, hi, I don't know what's happening. Can I be your assistant at Metropolis? And I was. He's a lovely human. So
yeah,
if you
great.
See him again.
He's going on vacation.
Oh.
So have fun on that.
We're gonna see him. So how did it go? So
it was great.
So when
I'm Rosie. So it was a lot of just going over the music and getting to know the other two women, which, I mean, I knew one of them from before. Amy Montgomery's playing Donna. She's amazing. But I met Jennifer, who's playing Tanya, and it was fun. It was a really fun day.
So when do you guys open?
September 8th.
I know that's scary since it's just, okay, but that's coming soon.
I know, that's real fast. I mean, with Equity, when you're every day, I mean, you're there 10:30 to 6:30 every day. And
it's
fast.
Yeah, it's not a like, we'll see you at 7 p.m. and we'll rehearse till 10.
Yeah,
no, not that thing.
No,
it's not that at all.
No,
here's your whole day.
There's gonna be like 150 disco balls, so
oh my gosh,
and a rotating stage, so it's gonna be super cool.
So, people, awesome. Get your tickets, Mamma Mia at the Paramount. And that is in Aurora, and that is a relatively new theater.
This is their sixth season.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm doing that. Last year I had a lot of fun. I got to do Empire about four times.
That's
which
right.
Was great.
Yeah.
Yep. I am Edna. She hasn't been killed off.
Let's not kill her.
Hi, Fox. Hey, guys.
Fox,
Edna's amazing.
Edna on Empire.
Nope. That's right. Board members need
I want to see more Edna.
Yeah. Right. I think we all
Team
do.
Edna, you guys.
Yep.
Team Edna.
Tedna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which was super fun. That was just an amazing experience.
I had Taranda on, Portia,
yeah.
And she before it really took off, and she's a lovely human being.
She's super funny.
Yeah. Oh, she was cracking me up in the studio. I was like having trouble keeping it together.
Yeah.
Also, I had to use the dump button a lot.
I'm sure
for the swearing, but she was talk about it. she does not apologize, and I like that.
I'm actually really impressed with us that none of us have dropped the F-bomb.
I
cannot tell you how hard this is.
Oh, great. I appreciate it because Sean, I'm sure, appreciates not having the cursing going on. Can you hear us, Sean? Yeah, he can. He's just looking at me like, lady, you're crazy. But yeah, so because he would have to. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it makes his job harder.
Yeah. So I am appreciative. So what about you, Corey? What are you working on?
Unlike these two ladies flanking me, I don't have a recurring role on a national television show at the moment. So if anyone would like to give me one, that would be so good.
Yeah.
I'll do a really good job for you.
You will.
I will. But no, I left my day job, corporate job thing in December.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And doing this full time. So I have a spreadsheet at home that I call the hustle sheet. So I'm doing
the hustle sheet.
Right.
I like it.
So I'm doing freelance acting. I'm doing freelance writing. Sarah and I have a web series that the first episode is just about to wrap up.
Corey and Sarah are famous.
And Sarah are famous.
It's true. So that is happening. It's a very meta little series about our life as actors and
middle-aged
actors trying to make it, because there's truth there. Mm-hmm. And pretty much everyone that we will have in it will be playing themselves, because we know the funniest, best people on
the seriously,
planet.
In the city.
Seriously. And we have a ridiculous YouTube series called Get in the Car as well.
Now tell me about that. I think I've seen...
How many? It's all Corey.
It's not. It's just real super dumb. I'm just holding a phone.
Oh.
Well, she just started one day, and she said the topic is hummus, and then started recording, and she just would lay these things out there to see how I'd react, and then recorded them, and I didn't even know she was recording for like the first maybe minute.
Well, yeah, she was like, what is this for? I'm like, I really have no idea. And now
that's just you two?
Yep.
And it's going to stay just you two?
No.
Well...
When
we hit 250 subscribers on YouTube to our channel, Unsolicited Jews.
That's right. Yep. Unsolicited Jews.
Okay.
Then we will have a guest in the car. We've had several conversations with people about who it would be. Antoine McKay
is like, I know, Antoine.
He's like, I want to be in that car. I want to be in that car. I'm like,
be in that car.
Well, see.
Yeah.
You
better get a bigger car.
Right.
We're
all coming. It's going to be getting the minivan.
We might not talk to them in the car.
Right.
They can just be in the car.
I just want to be in the car. I don't have to say anything. No. I just want to sit in the car. I'll wear my seatbelt.
Right. You'll do all.
Safety first.
Yeah, safety first. Every now and then maybe be like, that was my house.
I live there.
So you guys have those two things. What's your, is there a website for these?
Not as of yet. Right now you can find Unsolicited Jews on YouTube and follow us on Facebook.
And Twitter.
So you can follow us on the social media platforms, and then we will have a website coming soon.
And you have a play coming out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll talk about that. We're going to take another little break.
We'll be back with the ladies in just a little bit. Good morning, everybody. This is Jen B. I am here. I am filling in for Nick. I am not Nick DiGilio, although he is one of my favorite. Yeah, exactly. Can you imagine? People are like, wait a minute.
He sounds so weird.
It took them a long time to
have a terrible cold.
A terrible cold. So I am here, and I will be here until 5 a.m., and then other people will take over. The morning drive will take over. But right now, I'm in studio with three artists, women, fierce ladies. That's how I'll introduce them.
I like that a lot.
And we got Robin and Corey and Sarah. They are Factory Theater Ensemble members, but they are also in their own right, without the Factory Theater, do millions and millions of things. I might be exaggerating a little bit.
Maybe, but not a lot. But, not much.
So I want to play the game that I play sometimes with guests that I really like. That sounds terrible, because now every time when I don't play the game,
people are
going to
be like,
problem.
You don't like me.
No. Like it's when I feel like there's artists that I want to play this game. Okay. So the game is called If I Could Not Fail, which sounds like a children's book.
It does.
But I,
if
it
I
is
could not,
not
fail.
If I could not fail.
I love when you do that voice.
Thank you.
That's a good voice.
It's the best.
So really we'll start. Is. We're actually going to start with Robin.
Yeah.
Okay. Robin Coffin.
Yes.
If you could do one thing and not fail, no matter what, and this is a secret, maybe a secret desire that you're going to share on a syndicated radio show or a almost national radio show. But if you could do one thing, no matter how hard you tried, and time and money and were no object, what would you do, Robin Coffin? And don't worry, we can play this game tomorrow too, so there could be a different one. You know what I'm saying? But for right now, in you know, what is in your heart to say?
Well, you know, I have always had a thing for photography.
Really?
I don't know that I would be very good at it, but...
Doesn't matter. No, you can't, you fail. You can't fail.
I wouldn't fail. It's always just been something that I've wanted to try. Because I think people are beautiful and shut, like just looking out this window, I'd love to take a shot of that.
Yeah.
I always just admire people that are photographers and see the windows of the soul.
See the windows of the soul.
Yeah.
So that would be one of the things you would do.
That'd be one of the things.
And would you like make a money off this, or just for your own, have the time to take your own
picture? For my own gratification.
Yeah.
I would just love to just take pictures of people.
That's I did
and
not
fail.
Know this about Robin Coffin.
I did not see that.
See, look at this.
All.
When we play this game, people who have known each other for a long time learn things about each other they never knew. So I'd like to say, good on me.
Okay, well done you.
Well
good
done
on
me.
You.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Corey, you're next. If you could do one thing, I have to preface it again because it's kind of the dramatic part is the lead up. If you could do one thing and not fail in time and money, no object, what would you do?
I mean, F it. I'm going to fly, you guys. Like, no, I mean, I don't mean like a plane. Like, I can actually personally fly.
I was thinking that, too. That's
I mean,
cool.
I mean, if I can't fail, I mean, why am I using my legs like
you
a sucker?
You went that route.
It's the first thing I thought.
I'm just boring.
No, you're realistic.
No.
And I have a very loose at best grip on the reality of things. And therefore, I'm like, I'm going to fly.
No, but that's, yeah.
I think that's amazing.
Then what about like flying, just jumping out of a plane then?
Meh. I dream.
Do you fly in your dreams?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what that means?
I forgot.
Is it about sex?
No.
Then
no.
I don't care. I was kidding. No, I want to know.
I want to know.
Okay,
no, I do
so
wanna
when
know.
You fly in your dreams, it is supposedly that you are reaching new levels of like spiritual enlightenment.
Then I should be like at
Buddha?
Nirvana.
Buddha.
I should be.
That's what it's supposed to be.
Literally, in my dreams, I have to hide it from other people because
See?
They'll be so mad.
You
when
are.
They find out that I can.
I'd
do
be
this.
Pretty
you're
mad.
Enlightened,
right? You're enlightened. You could
have
be
a slight glow.
Well,
if you could
so
fly,
you
yeah, I'd be really mad,
right? And be like, oh, sorry.
Super jealous.
You weren't supposed to see that.
That is fantastic. Those are great dreams.
I enjoy
my dreams, the closest I get to flying are boinging. So I do this thing in my dreams like a Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
So I'll boing. And
that's
I'm like,
pretty,
wow, I can boing. But I never
dope.
Quite...
I just want to hear you say boing a few more times.
Boinging. I'm boinging. No, but I never quite launch. So yeah. I come back down to the ground. So I'm liking this.
I've actually gone into the stratosphere.
Now, do you fly like Superman or do you swim? Because there's a lot of people who say when they're flying in the air, they almost like push the air.
Sometimes I do have to swim
like
if I
sky
need to pick
soup?
Up speed.
Like, it's sky soup
that you
that
swim in.
That is fantastic.
Robin's looking around like, what? Why wouldn't it be? You know you were thinking it too.
I mean, you're flying. You might as well be.
Sky soup.
In sky soup.
Right.
Why not?
Yeah. So I
say yes.
Well, that and I'm driving off cliffs. So
No, let's not. No.
Right.
No.
Those are my dreams, though. So
that's just a dream. That's not like if you could not fail. Okay.
Oh, God, no.
If I could not fail, I would just drive off the cliff.
Just fail, man, Louise. I'm going.
Let's not
I can't
do that.
Fail. It means the car can go and fly, too. No, there's no.
Okay. So flying.
Yeah.
You know what's coming, Sarah.
Yeah.
But let me do my intro.
Okay.
Sarah.
Let me do it.
Yes, Jen.
Sarah.
Yes,
if Jen. You could do one thing and not fail, no matter how hard you tried to fail at it, even time and money mean nothing, what would you do?
I would build my dream house.
What can you tell us a little bit about it?
Please tell me it's not a tiny house.
No, it's not a tiny house.
Oh, those tiny house
because
people.
Stop talking right now.
That's crazy.
You're putting that on me. It's not a tiny house.
I'm
although
so
they're quite cute.
They are really cute.
Yeah.
And they always on Yahoo, it's like, you'll never believe when you open the door of this tiny house.
This 200 square foot bunk bed house.
You'll never believe that people
it's
actually
got two
live
burners
in it.
And
no.
one shower.
So Sarah, what is your house look
oh,
like?
Oh, it's enormous.
Good.
And you can see water. I haven't decided what land it will be on to see what water in front of it. But there's land there and there's a pool because there has to be. And
like an infinity pool?
It could be.
Or like a regular pool.
And I mean, if I can't fail, then an infinity pool would
be
pretty awesome.
We're going big here. Right.
Yeah.
And a zen garden.
There's a zen garden and... a jacuzzi tub outside.
You could even have a tiny house within your house.
That would be
what?
For Robin.
What?
That
what?
Would be Robin's
Thank
house.
Thanks.
Robin.
I'd frown the whole time.
Get in there.
And lots of, I want to have a fireplace in my bedroom.
Oh, you know
like
what? I had, listen, when I was growing up in Evanston, I had a friend who had this huge Lincoln Street.
I
Evanston.
Live on Lincoln Street.
Oh, my God.
Or my parents do.
Okay, yeah, so my friend had a fireplace in her bedroom when we were growing up, and I was like, this is madness.
Right.
Like, it's so luxurious, I don't know what to do.
Know,
like, we were barely, we had, like,
time.
Plastic covers on our couch, and she's got, like, a luxury, it's special in the winter in Chicago to have a fireplace in your bedroom.
And I want a master bathroom that is as big as the bedroom that I currently have.
Nice.
In my condo.
Nice. Yeah.
Like, that big. With a tub that's separate from a shower.
Clawfoot, right?
As long as it's really round and
would you have
awesome.
A bidet?
I might have a bidet. I mean, there's no money. Yeah, like we could talk about this for 4 hours.
Yeah, right.
Or,
so
would you have one
is,
of those toilets with like all the
buttons? Here's the thing that I
and trip wires for the zombies.
About all of your dreams, right?
Yeah.
They actually don't have to do with, like, we're multifaceted people. Like, just because we're actors and writers, we have other dreams too, people. You know, and I think sometimes in going to a conservatory, it was like, you will be an actor and that will be the end of any other interests that you have, mm-hmm. unless it has to do with voice and speech, unless it has to do with movement. But I think it's good to, the reason I ask that question is like, one, when I ask it in groups and usually the groups I have know each other from professional life and they find out things about each other that they would never know. And two, it's just good to have, it lets the listeners know, like, you know, dreaming is good.
Yeah.
Whether you're dreaming of flying or I think a lot of times, you know, I was talking with the last group that like there are so much going on. There's so much going on in this world that is so horrific and so people feel helpless and hopeless that it's still okay to dream, people. That's my big
yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, don't
Heck
ever stop doing
yes.
that.
Never stop dreaming.
By gum.
By gum.
Sorry.
So that's why I play. Thank you for indulging me.
Thank you
you're welcome.
For having us play.
Of course. Of course. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to do, I just really want to do, Sean's looking at me. Oh, we're out of time. I'm sorry. I could talk to you all night, but we're out of time. Sean's like, no, we have
not
no
coming
time.
Back.
Okay, no. Never mind. But I'm going to have you guys on again.
Oh,
too.
Please.
Yeah.
And now we know where to park.
Now you know where to park.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. We didn't even talk about that.
Yeah, let's not go there.
This place.
Yeah, I'm glad you found it.
We live.
We thought we were in Brigadoon.
You guys, keep your eye open for and your ears open for these women. They're changing. How about this? They're changing the landscape of the theater.
Boom. Oh, Jen.
Thank you.
I like that.
Thank you. And
that was delicious.
That was delicious. An amazing. Have an amazing rest of your day. And thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. You're
this
delightful.
Is Jen B. I'm filling in for Nick DiGilio here on WGN 720 AM.